This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So up next, Housing and Local Government Minister Datuk Dr. Zuraida Kamarudin has said that the Residential Tenancy Act will be tabled next year, and it is going to address issues such as racial discrimination, which we've talked about a lot, as well as rental rates, neither of which are covered within existing laws. So ahead of this being tabled, we wanted to just talk about what form this act might take, how industry players are already reacting to it being brought up, and how it might potentially affect the rental market.
So at this point in time, actually, rental rates are not governed by law. They are negotiated between tenants and landlords. So this act is hoping to basically give both the landlords and the tenants a sort of a guide or an idea of rental rates in a particular area, right? So the minister, Dr. Zuraida Kamarudin, assured that this act will be taking into consideration the interests of both parties, both the tenant and the landlords, and also making sure, you know, that tenants are not evicted because of sudden, unannounced increases of rental rates by their landlords. But there are issues when it comes to this idea of a rent control law, something that has been implemented in many different countries around the world, often to varying degrees of success and also to a fair amount of controversy, actually.
Yeah, so let me just talk about the elephant in the room, right? Because the one thing that comes up over and over again is market forces. So you have industry players essentially saying that something like this distorts market forces. It creates an unrealistic situation, unrealistic expectations in the rental market. And for example, Henry Butcher CEO Tang Chi Ming actually gave an example of the Penang government's control of rental rates for 40 years that ended up seeing the buildings deteriorate since owners did not maintain or upgrade them because of those low rental rates. He did actually acknowledge that certain situations would merit the intervention of the government. So wars, natural disasters in which people need some form of assurance, assistance or protection. But broadly speaking, I think this question of market forces and the fact that right now they do determine rental rates, that is something that came up over and over again if you look through what industry players have been saying.
So in the simplest terms possible, rent control essentially means that there is a limit or a ceiling beyond which the landlord of a particular area cannot raise the rent. And the reason that would affect market forces, of course, is because it means that there is no there's no push and pull, and that particular area will remain at that price no matter what the actual cost of maintaining that property might be. It will erode investor interest, and if you look at some of the other comments, so Carmelo Ferlito, who is the CEO of Center for Market Education, he thinks that a rent control law will remove the incentives for property developers to continue building new apartments, which will then lead to a short of houses in the future. So the main argument against rent control is that it's beneficial in the short term for tenants, but in the long term, it actually leads to a depressed housing market in that particular area. So Ferlito, for instance, suggests that a subsidy would be a better approach if the point of the law is to benefit people who can't afford housing.
So I find it interesting that we're talking about it. And when I say we, I mean people who would actually be directly involved in drawing up the policy, because this is coming in, or rather after a year in which these sorts of things, rental, paying for your house, have been a source of pressure for many. And so I think that there is this emotional desire to say like, hey, we are going to protect tenants. We're going to ensure that people aren't just kicked out on the street or, you know, suddenly subject to having these incredibly high rental rates pushed on you in a place that you may have been living in for years and years. And so the emotional argument is there. However, the systemic argument says something else. So I think it's one of those situations where, you know, if you were going on heart, if you're going on gut alone, this is a great thing. If you are thinking about it intellectually, systemically, then I think it gets a lot more complicated. We'd like to know, though, is a rent control, a rent ceiling, something that you would like to see? Do you find that renting, if you are a renter, is it sustainable? Has it been affordable? Have you been seeing, you know, these fluctuations in price for yourself? Let us know by calling 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we are crossing over to Dr. Saveya Hasniati Hamza, who is a senior lecturer with the Department of Real Estate at the Faculty of Built Environment in the University of Malaya. Dr. Hasniati, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. Thank you.
So we've been talking about the Residential Tenancy Act. What would something like this include?
Actually, first of all, your discussion just now revolves around rent control, which I think is a major part of the Residential Tenancy Act, but we cannot ignore that Residential Tenancy Act is more than just rent control. We cannot just focus on the rent control aspect of RTA only. But having said that, yes, I agree that we really need to tread carefully on the rent control matter. Now, RTA in itself should contain several items that would benefit all parties, not only the landlord, but also the tenant. For instance, it should introduce a standard form of rental agreement, which is missing in the Malaysian market now. You know, contracts have to be negotiated between landlords and tenants. You know, there are no standard clauses in the rental agreements. And in all countries, their tenancy agreements, the countries that that implement the RTA, their standard form of rental agreement contains things such as, minimum rights and responsibilities of landlords and tenants, payment of rent, how much, when do you pay to your landlord. What about rent arrears? In Malaysia, sometimes it is up to the landlord to enforce, but there needs to be a standard form of notice, for instance, to these delinquents, tenants who do not pay their rents. And also rent increases. Some control of rent increase needs to be inserted or need to be put in the form in the rental agreement, which is missing, I think. It's actually based on negotiation basis between the landlord and the tenant. But isn't it better if you have a system or if you have a formula to calculate the rent increments? Things like procedures. What if the tenant or the landlord wants to end their tenancy for whatever reason, right? That is not standardized in Malaysia for the moment. And what if the landlord wants to access the premises for repairs or to just to check up on the tenants? We hear about tenants who hold illegal activities, drug processing or whatever in their premise. So what if the tenants want to check on their tenants? Having said that, on the other side, what are the rights of the tenants in terms of their privacy, in terms of their security, right? And something that is missing so far is standard treatment of our deposits, of the advance rents, how much, how many months. So that is, in countries that have implemented RTA, they have a standard number of weeks or months of rent to be collected up front, but not in Malaysia. And what if the landlord wants to renovate their house? Or what if the tenant did some additions to the premise? What actions that can be taken against the tenant? So that's why we have countries like Australia, New Zealand, some parts of the US, Germany, they have the Residential Tenancy Act, but not in Malaysia.
So one of the areas that has been getting a lot of attention in this proposal is, as we discussed earlier, this idea of rent control.
Yes.
Could you walk us through the pros and cons of legislating rent control?
Well, of course, from a tenant's point of view, they always say, having rent control is good for them, especially in the current situation of the uncertain economic conditions. I would say there are pros and cons. Yeah, if you walk through the pros, okay, for instance, for low or low medium income households, this would be good for them, especially in the current situation of COVID-19, isn't it? When so many people are being made redundant, so many unemployment now these days. Also good for them because the rent control would ensure affordable housing costs, and that would be factored in into their cost of living as well. Housing is a necessity. Shelter is a necessity. So the first thing on their list every month is to pay their rent. So if you can control that, that means that we can ensure a minimum standard of living among the low or low-medium income households. And, you know, we can protect the tenants against sudden hikes in rents. Sometimes there are some unscrupulous landlords who, for whatever reason, maybe they want to keep out the tenants. Or maybe, you know, they have done some kind of research, which was misguided maybe. So they want to hike up their rentals. And, you know, without the protection of any rent control measures, this would happen and this would impact badly on the tenants. And also, a big pro here is, you know, if you can control the rent amount we paid, that means that there's more savings and more money to be that can be saved every month. This is especially good for first-time home buyers, for instance, yeah? Because this can ensure faster savings, yeah, for their deposit, the 10% purchase price, good for them. And also, not just that, maybe before this, without rent control, they can you know, barely afford the 10%. Maybe with the rent control, they pay lower rent. With that, they can afford more deposit to be paid, rather than 10%, maybe increase to 15 or whatever percent, and this can reduce their borrowing. Now let's go to the cons. So the cons, you mentioned just now about the Penang case, right? Penang case, it was a cautionary tale, if I may say. Because what happened then? The rent was so low, and it, let me just recap. Yeah, the rent control story in Penang and most major cities in Malaysia at that time, why it was repealed, was because it demotivated the landlords from undertaking property maintenance, property repairs, because the rent was too low, actually, too low for them to maintain their property. And not just individual properties, because at that time the properties that were badly affected were pre-wash-up houses. If you read on this topic, pre-wash-up houses are older shop houses, yeah, in the older parts of cities in Malaysia. So what happened then? You know, not just individual shop houses, but rows of pre-wash-up houses or rows of older shop houses become dilapidated, unsavory to the eyes, attract, you know, crimes and things like that. Huh? So, of course, if the rental is too low, it will deter property maintenance or proper maintenance. And thereafter, you know, the bigger impact on the neighborhood, it can introduce urban decay, for instance. And I'm a valuer by training. So what does that lead to in terms of property value? It will lead to lower property value, and not just for the, you know, the shop house individually, but, you know, the row and the street and so on. So that is something that we need to consider, cons of having rent control.
Hmm. And so we have just about a couple of minutes left. What are the challenges overall in getting the RTA passed, and what kinds of considerations do you see entering the picture?
Right, considerations. I would say, tread carefully when it comes to the rent control. But at the same time, I would say, do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because, you know, having a standard rental agreement would be good, I think, for both parties, because it introduces certainty not only to the tenant, but also to the landlord. There would, you know, be certainty when there is a legal dispute in the future regarding repairs, regarding arrears and things like that. And one of the suggestions made by the National House Buyers Association was to have a tribunal for residential rental, which is good. I think tribunal special potential issues in the future would be necessary for the system, if at all the RTA is passed next year, because, you know, it was in. They say that it was going to be passed last year, but due to COVID, it was going to be carried forward to this year. Hopefully it will be passed this year.
Dr. Hasniati, thank you so much again for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Saveer Hasniati Hamza, Senior Lecturer with the Department of Real Estate at the Faculty of Built Environment in the University of Malaya, speaking to us about the potential or the Residential Tenancy Act that is supposed to be, going to be, tabled next year and will include, among other things, the central thing that we've been discussing today, which is rent control, but also is expected to address issues such as racial discrimination when it comes to rental, which we've covered extensively. So tell us, I mean, is rent control by law, is that something that you would like to see? Do you find that rental, if you are paying it, has been unfair, has been fluctuating, has been difficult? Call us 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.